Welcome to Floating Nifty Podcast. My name is Shouwen, and today we have Noah joining us. Hello, Noah.
Hello, I'm Noah.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I just had lunch, so I'm a little bit slow.
Me too.
So anyway, I think today the tea is very wonderful for today.
For the weather?
For the weather.
Yeah, it's in
Did
Seattle.
Did I just say today the tea is very wonderful for today?
Yeah, you did say. Okay. That's good though.
I just repeat to subject.
No, the weather in Seattle is very cloudy and dreary in a very Seattle way.
Mm.
And we're going to be drinking an aged oolong from the 70s.
From the 70s. It's actually a Baozhong tea from Nangang.
Mm.
Very happy to have found this tea. It's new on our edition in our shop. And I just warm up the leaves in the Yixin pot, and the dry leaves smell sweet, like a dark dry fruit and some sweeter Chinese herbs to me too. So pretty exciting.
Mm. Can I smell it one more time?
Yes.
Mm. It's like walking down Dihuajie.
Dihuajie. Maybe you should explain to people what that is.
Oh, yeah. Dihuajie is a dried goods market. Well, a street that has a bunch of different dried goods markets in Taipei. So it smells like dried fruit and also dried herbs and also dried
fish.
Well, this one doesn't really smell like dried fish, but
yeah, this one has no dry fish.
This is
don't
like
worry.
when you are not walking by the dried fish one. But also, last time I mentioned Apingjie's name, I realized when I was editing it, and I didn't want to just add in, like, editor's note, Apingjie is blah 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 blah. But yeah, I mentioned Apingjie's name in the last podcast episode.
Oh,
yeah, or maybe two episodes ago. But
is that okay?
I think it's fine, but we gotta explain who she is.
Oh.
Who she's a tea brewer for our teacher, John, our charcoal roasting teacher.
Okay, okay.
So she brews the tea when we sit in his place. Mm. But I mentioned that she had said something about the way that his teas kind of sometimes go to difficult places, then come out on the other side, and it feels very satisfying that way.
Mm.
I thought that was a really profound thing to hear.
Mm.
But I didn't say who told it to me, except for Apingjie, which is probably very confusing for people. Anyway, we're here to drink a aged oolong today.
Yes.
It smells really rich and herbal, almost with like a kind of brown sugar sweetness.
On the surface of the tea broth.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, and I can smell the sweetness of that dry fruit, which remind me a little bit of prune, dry prune. Yeah, because I can even imagine the pit. The throat sensation is very clear. And it carries some warmth. The body is, I think, in the borderline of heavy, but not heavy as a roasted Tie Guan Yin, not as heavy as a roasted Dong Ding. It's that medium body with some puffiness, and then lean towards almost going to be heavy. Yeah. And the throat sensation doesn't show up like a Dong Ding, that kind of really big presence. It's just, you can feel it there. The throat sensation, what I feel, is more on the warmth rather than the physical texture like a Dong Ding, a good traditional Dong Ding. What a Dong Ding really shows, really big that part to me.
That's what I was thinking too, is that it doesn't, it's not as obvious or as massive feeling as Dong Ding throat sensation.
But the spray of the warm feeling.
Really soft and comfortable and warming.
Mm-hmm. And then you will gently move inside of the body. We'll see if it will continue to develop that clear route, that the tea broth will be clearly just settled down into the stomach. Today it's almost there, but not quite. And overall, the tea has a really warm, comforting, rich feeling.
That's something you talk about a lot. Not talking about cha chi or tea energy, more just talking about the root of the broth into the body. And I love to hear you talk about that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
For me, there's a thing. It's very interesting to me when the tea first show, some of the tea show that part of themselves to me. And I think it's also in combination of some of the tea teachers start to talk to me about that. And here I call it structure. And I think the Taiwanese teachers call it like a frame, F-R-A-M-E, or skeleton, like a human skeleton. And so here I just use the word structure, because you got to have how our body can stand up, because we have the skeleton in our body to let us stand up. And of course, it's not just that. Without the muscles and everything working together, we won't be able to stand up. And so I look at tea this way. Some teas, you know, try to show me they have a very complete structure, and then some move a little bit more. Some structure is more complex, like you put, you know, things into a building, and just some, you can make a very simple building stand up, and you can make a really complex building also stand up. But when a building, then when you call it beautiful, then because you can really see everything working together, and then you can see the center. So sometimes when I look at tea that way, it's just super interesting, because you get to see so many things in our lives. You know, like look at a tree. Why is that tree that beautiful? Where is the center of that tree? And where is the expansion of that tree? I look at all those things like that. So, but not all the time, though. I'm not just sitting here and look out and just zone out. Like, whoa. Once a while. And once a while, you know, I would just... we have very big... We have very small tea room, but we have a very big windows, clear windows in our shop. And so... most of the time, I just look at people walking by, look at dogs walking by. sometimes trying to see, to feel their emotions, to feel their distractions. Most of the time, I should do it like that. And sometimes I will do a little bit more intense to watch how they walk. And watch how they might possibly hurting their neck, their shoulders, or their back when they are walking, and which remind myself that I might possibly also walk some of the little bit more uncomfortable ways, and remind myself not to walk that way. And I don't even know why I'm talking about that. Well, which I think tea sometimes just bring up really weird subjects, I guess. For example, how I like to watch people walking by. That's actually a subject, but I don't think I should go too much deeper into that.
Well, to bring it back to the tea.
Yes, that's right. We got our second infusion here now. Opens up more than the first infusion. So the fullness start to show up a little bit more than the first infusion. And however, I do breathe a bit longer, and the tea did open up more because they already got soaked once. This one feels there's a little bit dryness in the tea, in the back of my tongue, which I normally don't mind that at all. I actually like my tea a little bit bitter. I like my tea a little bit dry.
Feels like it has punch. Feels like it has a little bit more of a punch that way.
Yeah. And so if you know that you are a tea drinker that don't like those features, you can choose to put less leaves or brew it shorter time, you know. Very full on this infusion after I push it a little bit. And almost a little bit hint of bitterness also show up now, which is in a nice way.
It spreads a lot more
into the body, actually. Yeah, the not just the physical tea broth in the mouth feels bigger. The physical structure of how the tea is moving inside of the body feels much larger too.
More vibration. One thing that I like to talk about is the structure, not only the structure inside the body that you're talking about, but also the structure inside the mouth and the structure inside the
nose,
the scent.
So right now, what does that mean by structure in the scent? So I think our senses like to smell. This smell like this, this and that, etc., etc. And I think that's really fun. This one thing that tea is quite... Tea is very amazing that it just, it's pretty much the same plant. And because humans throughout the time learn to make them into this tea, that tea, and this tea, etc., etc. And you're such fascinating differences in the flavor and smell profile. And I think that's really fun to go into that.
And there's a huge variety of what oolong tea especially can smell like.
Yeah.
But also that calls out a memory.
Yeah.
What that's doing for you is they're calling out a memory like, oh, that's what that dried herb smelled like on Diguaji or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, true.
And that's a really important step to take and also always really fun to come back to.
Yeah.
But like you're about to say, you can take that a step further and see it more for what it is rather than what memory it reproduces in your head.
Yeah. And so next time if you drink a tea, you can actually take that practice into consideration. Either after you brew the tea and then have the surface of a tea broth in a cup and just smell, I mean, it smell the surface of the warm broth and then... first, if you want to smell what exactly it smells like, go ahead. I think that's really fun. And then don't stop there. Try to feel, to sense where the scent actually stops. Does it stop right at the, what is that point?
Just right inside the nostril.
Yeah, just right inside the nostril.
Basically, like how below, far the scent reaches into your body from your nose.
Yeah, and then you might be able to notice and might not. And please, you know, do not force yourself to see if like, well, I don't know what you are talking about and I do smell my tea. Allow it to happen. Sometimes tea is very interesting. It show up in a really unexpected way. And welcome those moments. I love those moments. I love when the tea jump out at me and just like, surprise! So anyway, you know, when you smell a tea, especially the warm broth or the empty cup, either way you choose, really watch how, and I keep using the word feel and watch because I'm not really smelling the smell. I'm more like watching where the scent is going. And so sometimes I do feel some scent rise up at the tip of my nostril, inside, like it's where your finger can no longer pass
that place. Reaching into the sinuses.
Because I don't know how to describe that space, but I think everybody all have the experience where your fingers can go. sorry. If you bring out a really bad memory, please forgive me. But amazingly, there are some teas that you are going to notice it's going to pass that space. And there are some teas it's going to notice that it's... I know this is going to sound a little bit weird. It's going to reach inside of your head.
And where it can go from there?
Yeah. And then, exactly. And sure, people might argue that our brain cannot smell things. To be honest with you, I won't have too much to say on this subject. I'm not
a brain
scientist or stuff, but my brain does sometimes feel like the scent is going there, and sometimes they spray. Mm. And sometimes the scent will split, and then you will have multiple routes, and including, do you know where it could go? Behind my ears, just by the smell. And sometimes like, then that part is going to link when you hold a tea broth in your mouth and then swallow it, it's going to link that part again and allow that to happen. And maybe some of you guys already think, wow, Sean is crazy. It's okay. I've been told this way many times. I'm quite used to it if you think I'm crazy. But just to want to bring out that subject of structure in a scent, it's actually, why do I like that so much? I think it's one of the vehicles to help us tea drinkers to locate better teas. And why is this so much fun? Because don't you think it's really fun to keep drinking better and better teas and to know where this is going and to know that there's actually no end to it? For me, this is really fun. And I still drink my comfort teas. I okay, now it's going to be out in the public now. I actually really enjoy drinking a black tea in the morning with some milk inside. And sometimes I even put condensed milk. I love it with my breakfast. So those are just my comfort teas. I really love it. But those are not the teas that I'm studying. Oh, well, wow, the scent is going behind my ear or something like that. And there's just one part that you can see the structure. You can actually quite see the structure from the physical leaves, like how they make it and that kind of stuff. So I think tea structure is so much fun to learn. It's actually the actual leaves itself that you can look at it, and the scent, and the mouth.
The texture.
The texture. And texture part is also very fun for me, and which is normally the, besides the scent, then there would be the first place that I started to detect, wow, is this tea amazing or only okay or even bad? You know, like I would think, oh God, this tea is not...
But even beyond good, better, bad, worse, you can have lots of teas that are all very good teas. And have almost the same, like if you want to quantify it, the same amount to tell you, but they tell it in a very different way. Not every good tea is going to reach behind your ear. Some of them will go up more.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe maintain kind of one point. They feel very focused in that way. And some of them feel more spread, which is also very cool. But I think so far for me, it's also about how far they can go. And at that point, you have a lot of room to grow within your experience of that tea. For yourself as a tea drinker.
Sure. And let's come back to the texture of a tea liquid in the mouth. So we are basically holding, you know, filling that water together with the tea got infused into it. And amazingly, you are going to be able to feel many, many, many different feelings throughout different teas. I think this is where also one of the key points the tea maker is communicating with us, that how far he or she can make you feel the broth. So for example, some tea broth is very light and, let's put it this way, boring. And some tea broth is very heavy and one-sidedly too rough and too many like cutting edges to it, EDGEH, like sharp points, and feel extremely uncomfortable. And then you have some broth is like, oh wow, this is solid, swallowing, not much memory, good enough to drink. I like this tea. And there are some tea broth actually, just like Noah said, you know, it, you can feel that the tea broth texture has a structure that you almost couldn't imagine that it can go that way and have so many dimensions. And those for me are quite amazing experiences that a tea maker can express that to us tea drinkers. As I say, we steep, besides matcha, we steep the tea in hot water, and somehow it presents these many different texture feelings in our mouth, you know.
Yeah, when I am feeling the texture of a tea and I kind of lose myself in the experience of just watching that, that's when I know that I really have a long way to go with this tea, a lot to learn from this tea.
So let's just focus on the mouth part today, then. If not, there's like way too much to talk about. Then some of the teas, you know, as I mentioned earlier on, some of the tea you feel like, oh, the texture is quite adequate, is smooth enough, it has a good enough body, and you swallow it and you quickly almost forget that you just drank something. And then I bet many of you have that experience, that amazing texture, swallowing the tea, not just physically feeling the tea, actually back inside of the mouth. We talk quite a lot also aftertaste. It's not just, of course, you will be tasting what tea tastes like, but some of the teas actually make you feel and make you relook at the structure of the tea broth that is no longer physically existing in your mouth, and they somehow continue to linger in a shape inside of your mouth and make you think. And some of the teas also, you guys heard me talking a lot, salivation. And those also is one of the points that a good tea can do, is leave you many different ways that a tea can make us salivate and make us taste the tea and feel the tea for a very long time. All those are structured to me, because they are going to tie into a center. It just, because they are tied in, therefore I can pour them all in together. If they are all separated, then my mind will be too busy, and then nothing is focused, and I'll be like chasing after something. But with tea, I don't feel that I'm chasing after something. I'm feeling that they just, in a really, just like music notes, they come out sometimes at different times, but they all come out for a reason. And then they got tied into whatever the composer's theme to try to share a piece of music with either the players or the audience. I sometimes look at tea that way too, you know. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know this tea will get this profound today. Surprise. Because the first infusion, the tea is actually just feel good. For me, it's a comfortable tea. It's a sweet but not overly sweetened.
Smooth
but not boring, and kind of on the borderline of being heavy but not really. So everything about it, and then there's that nice comfortable warmth at the throat and in the body, and so everything about the tea is actually quite comfortable. And who knows, like second infusion start to open up, it's way, like almost there's a heat, not just warmth, I would say it's heat in like go inside of the body. So I think the tea start to become a little bit more intense, and that's why I start to turn more intense too. Trust me, not all our tea sessions is so intense and so like philosophical, and then texture this and structure that. And
Oriental Beauty was really just nice.
And complex.
Yeah.
So let's come back to this tea then. This tea is from Nangam area, which where we produce Baozhong tea. The place got developed into Taipei. They are very close to Taipei. And so, in a way, it got developed into Taipei. And so a lot of, tea growing decline. And so right now, currently, if you are a Baozhong fan, you probably hear more about, Pinyin Baozhong, which we carry that, since 2005.
Correct me if I'm wrong, also called Wenshan Baozhong, huh?
Wenshan is the bigger district. Mm. Wenshan actually cover, Nangang. I think, all of these places.
Oh, really?
I'm not positive, but Xindian is Wenshan too. So,
Xindian. What about Shiding?
Shiding, maybe. So I have to check though, because it's that one district into the other, to one bigger.
Yeah, Wenshan is a bigger district.
Yeah, just like Washington, and then there's like Seattle. Mm. So Seattle is also Washington. Mm. Yeah. But Washington is not Seattle. Something like that. So then Portland is so close. So Portland is not Washington, but sometimes probably, sorry, not really to say this, but probably like if you're not used to, then it's like, oh yeah, it's Washington. So whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying right now.
I don't know if Portland people would consider themselves from Washington.
Not Northwest.
Northwest.
Yeah. Here you go. So there are like even bigger places to cover the same places. Whatever. Seriously, let's not talk about geography. When I was a kid, I loved geography subject, but most of my fantasy of so many places in the world and that look so beautiful to me. However, I'm really bad on really knowing where the places are actually. Like if I go to a place, I actually don't look like where it is. It somehow doesn't bother me. And so because of that habit, there are a lot of locations, even like Taiwan. And even though, for example, I had been in He Huan Shan, and I actually don't know where exactly it is in Taiwan. So that's just me. So anyway, I'm kind of trailing off the subject again. Nangang Baozhong. Mm. So I got this tea through a friend. He's a tea wholesale vendor, super generous, sweet guy, and know a lot of people because of his temperament. He's just so generous and so kind, even like to everybody, to farmers. So a lot of people want to work with him. And so when I went to say hi to him, you know, and I think I asked for like to see if they have HT, because some people ask for HT, and it's kind of hard to find H oolong tea because of the era and not too much tea, like the fresh teas and stuff, etc. And he said, yeah, I have some really nice H Baozhong. So we just sat down and try actually two different eras of Nangang Baozhong from the same person. Yeah. And well, according to him, they said this tea was not re-roasted, which is not a very common practice for aged tea. And the leaves look beautiful. They are still very whole. And just to be able to taste any form of aged Baozhong again, I was just very excited. The higher quality, there were two batches, and one is way more expensive than this one. It's finer, but the price double. So I thought, well, then I want to buy this one because there's that richness, there's that really clear signature of HT. And it turned out to be a very good choice. Not that I'm saying my tea is that profound and that kind of stuff. It just, you know, when we came back with so the physical tea is not here yet. Maybe after we release the podcast, it's already here. But my friend baked me a sample, and you know, first time when we tried it, nothing really happened because we kind of quickly just put it in a cup and just drink it that way.
Grandpa
and
style.
Then grandpa style and not much development. Let's put it that way. And then you know, and then after we brought the tea back to Seattle, we did one infusion with it and one brewing with it, and tastes good. Feel something didn't really show up. It's not complete yet. And until today, I think this tea has so much potential. Yeah. I mean, today the energy really is opening up. So I'm really excited about this, you know, because who knows, you know, how much more is going to open up.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think this is the fourth infusion or fifth. I forgot.
Fourth infusion.
And finally, the broth structure really shows up, push into the stomach now. So if you like HT and then you have tried our Beipu HT, this Nangang HT is not as old, but I think it's bigger because the leaves are whole when they pick it. And then the Beipu tea, as I told people, that one is it was an exported tea, so the leaves are more broken. And I think due to that, the energy couldn't grow much bigger than that. So sometimes, sure, age will help, but when it's that almost similar ages, actually more potent teas to begin with will end up with even bigger presentation rather than how old it exactly is. Mm. Mm.
Yeah, the Beipu is a, flavor-wise, it's a bolder tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is really, I normally tell people, an excellent tea. Also, that all, but the price point is quite affordable for a tea that all. And then for oneself, if you are new to HT, to learn and see what HT can feel and taste like. And also, if I know that a lot of you guys out there also quite enjoy brewing tea for your friends, that you are just very excited to share with friends and family, like, trust me, loose leaf tea is much better, you know, that kind of situation, and like to brew teas for people. I normally would suggest people to also maybe brew a light tea and then brew a aged Beipu to your friends or whatever clients, and let them, because people will, if they couldn't really in a way really still like know what HT is, at least, do you know what, they will be so excited to pick up so many different flavor profiles.
Yeah, so when I bring out the aged Beipu, it's not necessarily because, oh, look, this tea is 50 years old, it's crazy. Mm. I mean, people will see it on the menu and they think, oh, wow, it's 50 years old, that's crazy. I think, I mean, one, it is 50 years old, that's pretty crazy. But
yeah,
also,
older than you.
Yeah, it's older. Older than you. But it's also just a really bold and full flavored, and it does have a certain amount of complexity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are used to drinking, you know, a tea bag Earl Grey or English breakfast, or even a tea bag green tea or something like that, and they think tea is something that just tastes like kind of average or not very much, and then they have that for the first time and there's so much going on, not that it is like a magic tea that reaches up into your brain and spouts out the top of your head. But it's really solid, and there's enough there to chew on for people that are like, you know.
Mm.
I have people come in, they never tried good tea before. I bring that tea out. Mm. Not because it's really old, but because it is tastes like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And really nice tasting, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to have this in the shop because it is a little bit more, it's developed a little bit more deeply than that tea.
Because
like you said, that the leaves are...
It's still whole leaf, yeah.
The leaves look much more beautiful when you look at them. Yeah. I mean, there's probably more care that went into producing the tea in the first place. And not machine harvested like that other tea, basically.
Yeah. So it already feels like a bigger tea, and the tea broth has a little bit more dimension.
Yeah.
And more smoothness as well. So overall, really excited to have this tea on our menu. and I just did a really long steeping on the fifth infusion. And there's a bit more dryness got pulled out, but the flavor still holds and the taste still holds. So, looking good at this tea.
Yeah, very smooth and connected.
Mm. Smooth and connected. I like the description.
Maybe I'll use that on the menu.
Oh, here you go. So, with that note, thank you for joining us. We want to stay smoothly connected with you.
And I would just looked at the podcast listing. We've almost been doing this for 6 months now. Aww. I said that this morning to you. It's pretty crazy.
Thank you so much. And we enjoy doing this, but we need some support. And so many ways you can do this, or one of the ways is listen, continue to listen to this, and please do communicate back with us. We love to hear what you think, your feedback, suggestions. Please tell friends and families to listen to our podcast. And another way to directly support us, please shop on our website, 14leaf.com. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye.